Well, hello and welcome to the monthly session for the Advisor Pack monthly program. I'm Mark Little. You know, every month we go through content that was submitted by you, the members of this program. I tend to select what I think is the most relevant question that maybe would benefit the most of you, and we go through it. And that's what I've done this month. This month, we're going to talk about the comprehensive safety review, and I'll go through that with you in detail. But first, just about the program that you're in. You know, what is the Advisor Pack monthly program? Well, the Advisor Pack monthly program is all about delivering consistently to exceed your ideal client's expectations. In other words, the mantra of this program is also the team goal. And it's your job as the leader of your team, as the trusted advisor, as the most trusted advisor to the client, to share with your team and to encourage and lead them that the goal for all of us that are working for this client and on this client is to consistently exceed their expectations. And that starts with you. It starts with you having a conversation with the client of exactly what it is they expect and then conveying that to the team. But it's not just exceeding expectations. It's also delivering on what I have trademarked and we call truly comprehensive financial services. And not just at any level, but you resolve that you're going to deliver truly comprehensive financial services at the highest levels. And then once you've made up your mind to do that, then you execute. That's what this program's all about. It's mainly about building your team, getting a very, very strong administrative manager in place, someone with leadership skills and management experience. Also filling your five vacancies for the SMEs, subject matter experts. We have a process to fill those vacancies, all of them in less than 30 days on an interim basis. As a matter of fact, in any of my offices, we've never had an office where we couldn't fill all five vacancies, at least on an interim basis, in 2 weeks or less. So you can fill these vacancies in 30 days. And if you can't, then you should be sending questions to me. And we figure out what the obstacles are. Like, why is it taking you longer than 30 days to fill these vacancies? And then after you've begun executing, then this program's all about your leadership. And all I can tell you is the biggest surprise to me in all of this over the last quarter century of implementing truly comprehensive financial services is how much leadership is actually required of the team in order to deliver at that high level. So a person like me, most entrepreneurs, people like you and me, we think people are semi-autonomous and, you know, you just tell them what the objective is and they should take it on their own impetus. Well, it doesn't work that way. The amount of leadership that's required is stunning. If the goal is to actually exceed client expectations, you have to constantly encourage, and I call it leadership. You have to provide leadership to your team to confirm to them that this is the standard and the standard's not moving and the clients expect, you know, high level service. So anyway, that's this program in a nutshell. The question that I chose this month was actually a follow-up from last month. There was if you listened to last month's session, one of the questions was about the comprehensive safety review. That advisor followed up with another question, which is basically, I have a comprehensive safety review meeting coming up with one of my ideal clients. Could you take it slow and walk me through that meeting? Like slowly. I have not only done that, but I will provide you. So when the replay page for this webinar shows up in the Advisor Pack Monthly, you're going to have access to a bunch of files, not the least of which are these. And you can see these are numbered 0, 1, 2, 3. So 0, that is a PDF displaying the outline of what's accomplished or what's the purpose of the CSR meeting, the comprehensive safety review. So read that It's got a full outline and it's also got a one-page basic outline. I can tell you that when with these outlines of these meetings, the basic outline, which is a one-pager, I bring that into the meeting with me. I have it sitting right on my desk while I'm having the client progress meeting. And it just helps keep me on track. Like, what am I supposed to do next in this meeting? I've also provided, you'll notice this number one is the script binder. Now, this is something that we provide over in our flagship program, the Trusted Advisor Toolkit. But as always, I'm happy to share anything you ask for. So, you know, I'm happy to give it to you. This is a script of this comprehensive safety review meeting. And there are actually two scripts. And when you read them, it reads, I don't know if you've read an actual script, like a Hollywood script, you know, but it reads kind of like that. So it's, I'll show you in a minute what it looks like, but basically you go through and there's two meetings. There's a dry run prep meeting, which is the meeting that we schedule a week before the actual client progress meeting. It's an internal meeting, just 20 minutes or less. And so the script binder is there for that meeting. Then in the script binder, you'll see that there is the actual client meeting. So you have to kind of put yourself in a time machine and pretend it's 2012 again. I wrote this script back in 2012. So you need to kind of remember the actual date of the meeting being 2012. Why does that matter? Because I provide all the sample client statements, everything that we discussed in that meeting, we've provided you. And that's what these other two documents are. So O2, CSR Initial Client Prep Packet, that is a PDF of all the prep that was done for me by my team prior to the dry run prep meeting. Well, when you read through the script of the dry run prep meeting, there were several discussions of, I don't know, corrections that need to be made or things that were misinterpreted. Anyway, the advisor, which is me, I found things in the prep that weren't consistent with this client or were just flat out wrong. And so number two is the, you know, the related client statements and documents and reports that was given to me prior to the dry run prep meeting. And then after the dry run prep meeting, when the team was crystal clear on what needed to be updated and changed and improved, then they generated this number three, which is the set of documents that we call the corrected client prep packet. But there's two reasons I'm showing this to you, all these files. One is just to show you that, I want to tell you that one of the important things for my team and what we teach over in the Trusted Advisor Toolkit, which is a little more advanced, more detailed program than this one, but this prep that's prepared for you prior to the client progress meeting, it needs to be reduced after the meeting to a single PDF. We call it the client prep packet. So this was all the prep that was prepared prior to the meeting. And it was given to Mark, you know, prior to the meeting. And so for the archives, you need to reduce all of that prep into a single one PDF. And so that, you know, future members of your team, if they ever want to go back and do a little archival, you know, if they're doing research for a client, they can always go back to this meeting on this date and they can check what all the values were and what the situation, what the recommendation, what was actually recommended at this meeting and all of that. It's all listed in that client prep packet. But when you go into the meeting, the prep is carried in. So when I come into the meeting, it's printed out. I don't put PDFs to the client. I actually have reports sitting next to me so that when the time comes and we need to use that report, I can pluck that report out of my stack and I can place it in front of the client. And some of the more commonly used reports, you know, we print two reports, one for him and one for her, so they each can sit there and decipher it carefully. You know, they can look at it, each of them. But that's one reason I'm showing this to you, this list of files. But the other is just to remind myself to say that prep packet, that all that prep that's prepared for you, you don't show all of that to the client. so I'm what I want you to get from going through this exercise at the end of this session, when I've gone through the entire meeting, one of the takeaways I want you to have had is, isn't it amazing how much prep was prepared for Mark prior to this meeting versus what he actually plucked out of that stack and presented to the client? In other words, you only pull reports out of that stack if the client poses a question. And because most people are visual, if you can pull something out of your prep and put it in front of them to answer the question, then you do that. But if they don't ask a question, if they don't need to know more, if they don't pose any sort of a clarification question of any sort, then all that prep is in the packet. We don't have time to go through that whole packet. It's not important. It's not important that they go through all that prep. But Mark, my team's going to complain. They spend all this time creating all this prep, and why aren't you using it? I am using it. I'm only using it where it's needed. So I need all this prep because they could ask any question. So I need prep on everything. But what I actually choose to use, if we're going to get out of there in an hour and a half or less, I can't go through and show them every report that was created, and I don't intend to. So that is that. See if there's anything else I wanted to cover just about these. I recommend that you go download the script binder, go through both the dry run prep meeting and the client progress meeting so that you can see how the conversations went. And then as you go through the script binder, there are little notes in the margin when they're talking about a report. So it might say off on the margin, the circle chart or the numbers history or something, one of the reports that the insurance grid or something is being discussed at this point in the meeting. Fine. Then go over and pull up, if you want the clean version of that report, like how it's supposed to look when you give it to a client, go pull out the corrected client prep pack. Now, another funny thing, I've been doing this over 20 years and with advisors. And, so I did this for like 5 years. I developed this, Bill Bachrach kind of whipped me like a mule and said, get this process documented and nailed down. I took a couple of years doing that. And then, so I implemented this and validated, and I actually hired research companies to make sure that the formats of all these reports were the best format, most closely associated with what clients actually need and want to see, as opposed to what I, as an advisor, think they need to see. I mean, trust me, if I think they need to see something, I will show it to them. But what nobody ever seems to do is to go ask the clients, like, do you like these formats of these reports? Is this what you really want to see? No. So I did it. I went and hired a research company, and I've got data on this. I know that these report formats are what are the format that the most clients prefer. But what I was going to say is the reaction that I get from advisors is these aren't fancy at all. Mark, it's just like a spreadsheet or something. And I'm like, exactly. It's simple. So if you want to, put it on fancier paper and put your logo on it, make it look a little prettier, feel free. All I'm saying is that what you're looking at is what I've used to earn millions and millions of dollars and no clients complaining. So just be careful when you go adding things like logos and stuff to the report. If you make it busier and harder to read, you're defeating the whole purpose of my training. Because all I'm showing you is I've got data that these formats, the way I'm showing you is, when we gave affluent people four or five choices of different formats for this type of information, what we are providing in the corrected client prep packet is what won out. And so keep it simple. All right. So also provided as a document that I'm giving to you is this one called, this is called the Client Progress Meeting 60-Minute Timeline. So this is good for all the meetings in the 3-meeting process. This is just a standard client progress meeting. So I also have this out in front of me during the client progress meeting because it gives me the sections of the meeting and the time. How much time is allowed for each section. And I always have my timer in front of me during these meetings. So you notice the second item on this timeline says routine portion of the meeting, 10 minutes. Well, I will literally set my timer for 10 minutes. I don't have an alarm go off, but I do set it for haptic vibration. So it vibrates. So when the timer goes off, I know it and I turn it off. But it's, you know, I don't set the timer in that instance for 10 minutes. I set the timer for 7 minutes, and that gives me 3 minutes to wrap up and to move on to the next section. Because each of these sections, it's important for you to understand, each of these sections in the meeting are timed exercises. So if you get to the end of the time, but you haven't finished the conversation, you wrap up, you tell the client, I'm going to mark this down as a conversation that we need to continue. And you make note of that and you get that scheduled after the client progress meeting. So it becomes a skill. All I can tell you is it took me a little while, but not too long. I got to the point where I could move through this entire agenda in these amounts of times that are allotted and never have to call the client for a follow-up meeting. So it's really a skill on your part. The question is, can you keep the conversation on track when a client enters a tangent conversation, which could go off the rails and be 10 or 15 minutes of just a non sequitur conversation. Like recently I was in a client progress meeting and the client looks at me and says, you know, while we're talking about this inflation, what do you think about gold, Mark? You know, I think you can all any of you that have had clients can empathize with that moment. You look at the client and you're thinking, if I answer this question, we're going to go down a 15-minute rabbit trail that we don't have time to go through right now. So what do? Say, let me create a blank sheet of paper. See, I mark it on the top. I'm going to write parking lot. I'm going to write, Mark, what do you think about gold? And put it in the parking lot. And then you set that page over on the side and you say, I promise we will address this before you leave today. And then at the end of the meeting, when you go look at the parking lot, you just simply politely say, look, we've been going for an hour here. Why don't I just follow up with you and schedule some meetings to cover anything that's still in the parking lot? Okay. And get their permission, because if there's anything in that parking lot that they are disappointed that they didn't talk about today, well, you know, that's why I always recommend booking 90 minutes for these, so that if the meeting does go long, you're not rushed, you know, to get out of the meeting so that you can walk into your next meeting. I'd say book it for 90 minutes, but get working on your skills on this timeline. Like it's all you, it's your ability to keep things on track and to move from one agenda item to another seamlessly within the time frame. Or if the time's up, you just basically say, we've got to put an end to this conversation in this meeting now, but let me make a note. We need to continue the conversation, put it in the parking lot, and don't forget to follow up later to do that. All right. So the first section is the opening routine. I'm going to go to the actual script binder and read it to you, so you get the sense of what this is all about. As you can see, the script binder is in the left-hand column, is what the client is saying. And in the right-hand column is what you as the trusted advisor are saying. So when you're reading through that, and then notice in the right-hand column, the third column, action, that's if they're talking about a report, it will be noted right there. And so you can go to the other like sample documents and you can go look at the whatever they're looking at and discussing. You can pull up that report while they're talking about it. So here's the opening routine. It's short. Lynn, Ted, I'm glad we were able to get together today for your progress meeting. We call this meeting the comprehensive safety review. And our goal today is to increase the safety of your comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy. As we do at this meeting every year, we make certain that there is a sensible strategy in place for every risk to your plan, so that you leave this meeting feeling on track to actualizing your financial roadmap. Now, as always, we're recording this meeting for the members of your deliverables team who aren't here so that we have a record of what we discussed. And as with every one of your progress meetings, we're going to measure the progress that you've made against the goals that you've established for yourself. So we're going to review every action item our team recommends that need to be taken in order for you to be on track for your goals. But the objective after today's meeting is for you to be able to walk out the door with an overwhelming sense of confidence that you're making progress, okay? And then see, they say, great, I love getting these progress updates. And then, you know, I won't go through the rest of this, but there is a little bit more. And I'll let you read that in the script binder. But the point is, it's short. It's very, very short. And then you see in the next section, I start going into it and you notice in the action, there's a financial roadmap. So anyway, now we've gone through the 2-minute opening routine. Now we set our timer for 10 minutes. We're going to go through the routine portion of the meeting. Now, I don't know what your client progress meetings have been like up till now, but I can tell you what mine were like prior to this. What do you talk about in your client progress meetings? I'm curious. I would love to know. All I can tell you is what I talk about with clients. And all I can say is everything changed when I shifted to truly comprehensive financial services. So for me, in previous, like before all this, what did I talk about in meetings with clients? Well, I came up through the investment side of our industry. So I worked for a Wall Street-based firm. So when I got into these client progress meetings, I was talking about the investments. So we might talk about, you know, like the current economy. We might talk about world events and how it's affecting the economy or the investment markets. We would talk about the investment markets. And then we would get around to, you know, let's talk about your investments, like here's how they've been performing and here's how they perform against other benchmarks and so forth. So it was pretty much all about the investments. But if you're going to like jump in the river with me and deliver truly comprehensive financial services, you need to ditch all that. You need to, whatever you normally talk about in a client progress meeting, and just stop doing that. Like if you're a tax accountant and you're the trusted advisor, you probably in the past have talked about tax issues. If you're an estate planning lawyer and you're the trusted advisor, and I'm talking to you right now, well, in the past, you probably talked in these meetings about estate planning issues. Forget all of that. This 60-minute meeting timeline is designed, it's set up in two sections. You have the routine portion of the meeting and the focus portion of the meeting. So what's the difference? The routine portion of the meeting is identical for every client. You go over the same reports in the same order, and it's pretty much like Groundhog Day. You just have that same conversation over and over. The only thing that changes is the client's actual numbers are different. All right. So that's the routine portion. Then you notice in the next section, which is 45 minutes, it's the focus portion. Now that's where you actually get into the comprehensive financial services. Like we rotate in each of these client progress meetings, different topics. This topic, this meeting is about safety. So we're going to go through and talk about risk and safety. Now, in the routine portion, you notice noted there, it says, review financial roadmap. It says the numbers history and progress reports. Well, the numbers history, not all of you listening to this work with Bill Bachrach or utilize the financial roadmap. Most of you do, but some of you don't. So the numbers history is, if you're using the financial roadmap, I'm not going to show it to you here. I'm going to let you go through the script binder and read through and see what all these reports are. That's the main value of going through the script binder slowly, is you can go through all these reports that I reference and you can see, well, what are these reports and how are they discussed and what value does it bring to the clients and the conversation in general? I'll let you go do that. So I'm not going to cover the numbers history. But for those of you that know the financial roadmap, there are three numbers on the financial roadmap. You know what they are? Cash reserves, growth assets, and debt, total of debt. So it's just three numbers. And so what is the numbers history? Well, it's every meeting you've ever had with this client. And it's just a document of what were those three numbers. You know, if you've met with them for 5 years, three times a year, well, there's going to be, you know, 15 meetings. And so you'll have the numbers history is just listing for all of those 15 meetings. What were the cash reserves, the growth asset number, and the debt balance at each of those 15 meetings. So I'm not going to cover it here, but I am going to cover the progress report. So let's get into it. Now, for those of you that have never seen one, this is the financial roadmap. So when I say I review the financial roadmap, it's different in each of the meetings in the three-meeting process. But for the most part, at least in the comprehensive safety review and in the goal progress outlook, the next meeting in sequence, all I do is confirm these goals. So I recommend, and I think it's important that you have this financial roadmap out on the table and open during the entire meeting. So that means if you've never seen a financial roadmap, it's about yay big. It's big. It's a big piece of paper when it's unfolded. And so you need to have a bigger table, like a conference table, so that you can have it open, have it close enough that the clients can read it. But then if you bring out other reports, you know, you're not putting it on top of the financial roadmap. I listen, the client has shared all their values and their goals and where they are currently, you know, which is what the financial roadmap is. I treat it like a sacred document. Like I don't, other than touching it and to put it on the table, I might move it around a little bit, but I never put things on top of it. I don't put my cup of coffee on top of it. I don't put another report on top. I don't let anything touch the financial roadmap. It is that important symbolically in my mind. And so I'll have it open on the table, but if I bring out a report, it's important that you bring out one piece of paper at a time in addition to the financial roadmap. So that's open, but if you bring out something else to talk about, you move the financial roadmap up, keep it close enough for them to read, but then you put whatever report you're putting in front of them to look at, and just make sure you pulled whatever you previously had put in front of them, get rid of that, take it back, and then just always have just one document in front of them. It's okay to have one document in front of each of them. So if you have a report that you have two copies, one for each of them, but it's the same report, that's fine. But I'm just saying only have one report. Everybody at the table should be looking at one thing at a time. And so if you then change topics, then take that back. And the question always comes, don't you let clients have these reports? Yeah, but they don't want them. If they want a document, they will, as you start to grab it, they'll play tug of war with you. Like, they'll ask you, can I have this? And so, yeah, let them keep whatever they want. I'm just saying most clients don't care. You made your point. You showed them the visual. Now just take it away. If they play tug of war, let them keep it. Fine. But get it out of the way and then put the new piece of paper in front of them. So you have a simple meeting. You got one thing in front of them at a time. That's one thing that clients state in the data. It's very clear. Clients do not like online meetings, and clients do not like online meetings where where the advisor's going through software, because there's too much going on the screen. You're saying, notice over here, this number, and here's the projection. And if you do this and you'll live and you'd never run out of money, see? And it's all on the screen. There's a lot of busy information. And I can tell you, I've looked at so much research on this. Clients hate that. It's one report that gives pretty basic information on pretty much one thing. You put that in front of them. And when you finish talking about that, take it away, put the next one down. In other words, you don't move on to the next conversation until you've completed this conversation and got all the visual distractions out of their eyesight. And so that's how, and so if you're doing online meetings, just a tip, don't go through software that you've got that, oh, but the software was designed for them to go through it with them. Yeah. a bunch of technical geeks came up with software, and they say it's designed to show to the client. All I'm focusing on, which is all I ever focus on, is, you know, if you are interested in what clients like and don't like, clients don't like that. And so I would resist doing anything like that. I would just put one thing. If it's an online meeting, just like it would in a regular meeting, put one document up on a time, and when you're done, pull it down and replace it with the financial roadmap. So I would have the financial roadmap up on the screen at all times. Or if it's a meeting like Bill Bachrach recommends, you've got the financial roadmap. You're backed up from the camera a little bit further than I am now. You've got their financial roadmap in front of you, and you can hold it up whenever you want to reference it. And just make sure they have their copy of the financial roadmap in front of them at home. Okay, which leads me to the next point. So, you know, I'm talking about bringing the financial roadmap in to the comprehensive safety review, but aren't the numbers old? Like from the original financial roadmap. And this is what I wanted to clarify with you. This is why I have this up on the screen. You create a new financial roadmap for every client progress meeting. So that means you're going to take a fresh financial roadmap. You're going to get the person in your office with the neatest handwriting to fill in the values and the goals. And then you're going to update these three numbers. So whatever these three numbers are for the current meeting, go ahead and update those numbers so that when the financial roadmap that the client has in front of them, it's got these more current numbers, all right? And by the way, down in the margin, down in the lower right there, just the white margin, just get used to writing the date of this meeting in the margin so that on your copy, and if the client keeps the original, it's always noted on the financial roadmap, what was the date of these numbers? What is the as of date when that these were the correct numbers? So the key is, and this may be new to you if you've been working with Bill Bachrach, but give the financial roadmap to your client at every meeting when they leave. Or if you're doing the meeting online, like on Zoom or something, then you send them the client prep packet in advance, including the updated financial roadmap. So this is their financial roadmap. It says right on here, financial roadmap for living life on purpose. It's not yours. It's not the advisor's roadmap. It's the client's roadmap. It belongs to them. And I learned this long ago, 20 years ago, 22 years ago. If you will give them their financial roadmap, not all, but most clients will look at this document more than once in between your meetings with them. And that's fine. I want them to get excited about their financial roadmap. As a matter of fact, I would contend that my relationship with them depends upon how excited and how fired up they are about making this financial roadmap a reality. So I want it in their hands. I want them to get motivated by their own financial roadmap. Okay. So this is theirs. And just make sure at this meeting, they have the current one with the current three updated numbers. And if it's in the office meeting with you, then when they come, you'll have this updated financial roadmap, which you'll give to them before they leave. Or if it's a Zoom meeting, well, you've got to get all this stuff to them in advance. So, you know, FedEx, we use FedEx, just overnight them the documents and we also seal it up inside another packet so that when they open the FedEx, it says in Sharpie right on the cover, do not open until the meeting time. Okay. And so I tell them, break open the seal, pull out, you'll notice on top, there's a, you know, pull out all the documents. There's a financial roadmap in here and say, go ahead and unfold that. And so if I'm meeting with them, I'm sending them their financial roadmap in advance. Now let's go through the progress reports. So keep in mind this section with the financial roadmap and the progress report, this is just 10 minutes. You're not going to talk about the financial markets. You're not going to talk about anything that unless they ask a question. Here's what you do. You focus on their account values. So you've just confirmed their financial roadmap. The goals are the same. So Lynn, Ted, here's your financial roadmap for living life on purpose. I see you have four goals here. Has anything changed since the last time we met? Have you added any goals, or have your thoughts changed about any of these goals? And if they say no, say great. That's like less than 1 minute. And then you pull out this and you say, Lynn and Ted, last time we met, that's the bar on the left-hand side. When we sat down and I put your financial roadmap in front of you, everything totaled up to being worth $26,987,810. That was the number written in the growth assets section of your financial roadmap. So what is it worth today? Well, before we get there, notice on top of that, there's $148,000. Just so you know, after the last meeting, but before today, you have added $148,000 to your accounts, to your own accounts. And so you've set aside an additional $148,000 since the last meeting towards funding future goals. So now everything, when we add it all up, everything's worth $28,589,000. So what's the difference between last meeting and today? Well, you added $148,000 plus the market added, and then you have to be prepared with the exact amount of money that the market either added or subtracted from their values. So you need to say, you know, since the last meeting, you, Mr. and Mrs. Client, added or subtracted X dollars, and you state the dollars. And then the markets either added or subtracted X dollars. But those are the only four things that happened since the last meeting. Either the client deposited or withdrew money, or the market deposited or withdrew money, if you want to term it that way. So that's, you need to put dollars to all those figures, and they need to understand and acknowledge that everything's now worth $28,589,050. And that's how we got there from the last meeting. You follow me? Now, by the way, in case you're wondering, I can provide you the spreadsheet that we use to create this bar chart, but it's just a bar chart. I think anybody in your office could probably create this report. It's not fancy. But, you know, if you want to submit a question and ask for our Excel spreadsheet for this, feel free. All I'm saying is there's a legend off to the right here that talks about, you know, withdrawals, deposits, and it color codes it. And then there are these arrows. Those errors are for your benefit. We found that if you go practice this meeting and you do it with the script binder, your administrative manager might print these reports out in black and white instead of color. That's why we put the arrows, because if it's printed out in black and white, you're not going to be able to tell the difference in colors. And so therefore you would not understand, you know, this legend. So make sure that when you create this for the clients, you do not put in these arrows. But we do put in these little text labels, like, you know, putting the numbers on there. I think that helps clients. So there's that. And then be prepared. You may need to create a second version of this called the Growth Progress Since Inception. So this is Growth Progress Since Last Meeting report. You need to also prepare Growth Progress Since Inception. And the only difference is that the bar on the left is going to be, you know, the blue part's going to be when we first start working together, here's the amount you initially deposited. Then on top of that bar where it says 148,000, you're going to make that a much bigger number. It's like, here's everything you've added subsequent to that. So have subsequently deposited X amount. And then here's what it's worth today. But then on top of the bar on the right, if they've withdrawn any money, you're going to put that total on the right-hand bar, as if you're saying, you know, you have $28,589,050 today, but you would have had all that on top if you hadn't withdrawn your own money. So anyway, and when you go through the script binder, you need to be prepared with that since inception report. And in the script binder, you'll hear a sample conversation. All that script binder is years ago, 2012, my staff took a recording of one of my dry run prep meetings and my client progress meetings, and we transcribed it. So that's where these script binders came from. Then you need to understand this goals progress report. Again, don't put all these arrows on the final version. It's only if you're looking at it in black and white, but you can see right now in the legend, the bar on the left are the goals that this client has, but it's put into the amounts of money that are required to fund the goal or to consider the goal fully funded. So on the left-hand side in the legend, you've got all the client's goals with the most important goal to the client on the bottom. So you put the highest priority goal on the bottom, and you need to ask the client, you know, specifically, you know, if you could just accomplish one of these goals on your financial roadmap, which one would it be? And this client said financial independence. And I said, great. Let's say you have that goal funded. If you of the remaining goals, if you could just fund one of them, which one would it be? And they said the Help Family Fund. And then we went through that with all of these. And this ended up being the order so that we can show the most important goal in the bar on the left. You know, all this blue, that's the amount. And here it is labeled right on the report, $25,420,000. That's the amount that our financial planner has designated, that that's the amount of money required to consider this goal fully funded. Now, I'm showing this to you because this may be a little bit different way of thinking for you and or your financial planner. Ever since these Monte Carlo things, you know, our industry has sort of gotten away from having, like, telling the client, you know, here's the amount that our team considers for that goal fully funded. Well, you need to get back to those days, because the client, when you go through the data, they don't want wishy-washy. They want your team to say, here's the amount of money that professionals, our team says, if you have over this amount of, if you have this much or more earmarked for this goal, we consider you to be, as professionals, we consider you to be fully funded on that goal. And it's for each of them. So the bar on the left is each of the, how much money is required to fund each of the client's goals. And then the bar on the left is the amount of money they currently have. So there's that $28,589,050 again. That's the growth asset number on their financial roadmap. All these numbers have to tie. So there's the money that they have today, but they can just visually carry over and say, here's where I'm at. I have fully funded my most important goal. So I'm past that. And I'm not past this next one, $3,258,350 that will be required to consider having our Help Family Fund to be fully funded. So they see in this meeting on this date with you, this is where they're at. They funded this goal and they're in the process of working on funding this next goal in priority. So this you need to create, you'll see in the script binder that this is discussed. Now, back to the online timeline, all this description kind of evades the fact, or it makes it less clear, that we've only gotten 12 minutes into the meeting at this point. So you had a 2-minute opening routine, all of that with the financial roadmap and the progress reports, you have less than 10 minutes to cover that. So set your timer for 7 minutes. When it goes off, make sure you wrap up in 3 minutes, move on to this next section. This is the focused portion of the meeting. Now it's called the focus portion because this is the custom work that we've done for this client for this meeting. This is all going to be about the client and their situation, unique to them. And it's 40, you can see in the timeline, it's 45 minutes in the meeting. So it's the majority of the meeting. And you notice that we're going to cover these, each of them, but there's 15 minute chunks that comprise this focused portion of the meeting. So let's take them one at a time. The first 15 minutes is the meeting exercise. And I just wanted to point out, there's an exercise at each of the meetings in the 3-meeting process. This meeting, it's the CSR, it's called the Comprehensive Safety Review Exercise. In the next meeting, the Goal Progress Outlook, it's the Goal Blueprint, okay? So that's a different exercise. And then in the next meeting, the Annual Review, TAR, it's the Correct Your Aim Exercise, CYA. See, and there you are thinking CYA stood for something else. Now you know it stands for Correct Your Aim. No, when I came up with that exercise, I just that acronym was too appealing. Like I just said, we've got to call it the CYA exercise, but it actually, for us, it stands for correct your aim. So what is the comprehensive safety review? Well, I will tell you, so that you know, when you get to the annual review, it's a substantially similar exercise, looks the same. And so it's conducted almost exactly the same. It's just that with the comprehensive safety review exercise, this one and this meeting, we're focusing on identifying downside risks or obstacles or things that are worrying the client, things that might throw this plan off track, things that are in the client's mind that keep them up at night, that, you know, what if this happened or what if that happened? You know, anything in their head that might be an obstacle or a roadblock to the successful achievement of their financial roadmap. The goal of this exercise today is to get it out of the client's head and onto this piece of paper. So then what is it for the annual review? If it's the same exercise, what are we focused on then? Well, in this exercise, we're focusing on identifying and flushing out any downside risks that we are not aware of. In the annual review, so not today, not for this meeting, but we focus on the upsides, because there is a possibility of windfalls. Like, what if a client gets promoted to vice president, or what if they sell their business and have a ton, millions of dollars come into their life, you know? Or what if they inherit, you know, Aunt Tilly's $20 million art collection and you're the sole heir? Okay, over on the annual review, we're going to focus on what are some potential windfalls, upside things that might occur where you might find yourself in possession of additional money, that maybe we're not aware of. And so in the annual review, we focus on upside windfalls. And in this meeting, we are trying to get the client to focus in on downside risks so that we know. All right, so you pull out this blank document. It's just a Word document where I put a bunch of squares. There is a blank document in the corrected client packet that I've provided you with the script binder. The very last page, if I'm not mistaken, of that PDF is this blank. So if you want to, just print out the last page of that PDF and you've got the blank to use in the meeting. So you start, say, client, what's the goal? And then you can put the motion on the table. Say, stop me if I'm wrong. Is your goal to make this financial roadmap a reality? Or as I have written here, is the goal to actualize my financial roadmap? In other words, accomplish my goals that are on here by the target dates that I've set, and also to experience the things that matter most to me in life, which are my values. So you could propose that so that you don't have to spend tons of time. Remember, you only have 15 minutes. So is it your goal to make this financial roadmap a reality? Check. Okay. So then you ask them a question, and it's important that you get responses from each of them separately, and you document responses from both of them. And you just say, great, let's say that you look at the date on the goals and you find the date of the last goal. So let's say they had on there that I'd like to build my dream jacuzzi by June 1st, you know, 2029. Okay. And that's the last goal date on their financial roadmap. Okay. Well, then let's say it's June 1st, 2029, and you've accomplished everything on this financial roadmap. All the goals are now accomplished. Give me a couple of words of how you think or how you feel now that you have accomplished everything. Like you've achieved every goal that you set out for yourself. Like, how would you think? How would you feel? And get responses from both spouses and document them here. All right. This is self-explanatory. You're going to put today's date, the date of the meeting, and then you're going to put that date of the date of the final goal. So the date they've achieved their final goal, whatever it says on the financial roadmap is the date of the last goal, put that date here. Then you say, all right, Mr. and Mrs. Client, Ted, Lynn, I'd like you to stop and think for a minute. What are some things that might throw this off track? Like if I were to ask you, is there anything that keeps you up at night worrying, that might throw all of this off track? You know, what are some obstacles? What are some roadblocks? What are some things that might happen that really you worry, you know, could affect things financially, could affect your financial future? And then you list them. So let's say they say, well, I guess, you know, I'm reading in the headlines every day. I read about all this inflation. So what if after I've achieved financial independence, it turns out that my cost of living is going up faster than you guys projected, you know? So that's a problem. So then you would write down here, you would write down fear of, concern that inflation and cost of living might affect me negatively. Okay, have I got that right? Yeah, that's it. Okay. Now, your instinct is going to be to immediately start solving the problem. Say, well, what we've done in the plan to address or alleviate or mitigate that is blah, 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 blah. Stop. I've heard recordings of this comprehensive safety review meeting for 20 years. And the most common mistake that advisors make is when a client reveals a risk or a concern that bothers them. It's your instinct to be a problem solver and to immediately tell them, well, first of all, to jump in and say, well, we've already thought of that and it's in the plan, or to say, well, what, just so you know, it's your instinct is to talk too much. So I'm telling you a data-driven approach to this exercise, which will allow them to have an extraordinary experience. And it's not by every time they list a risk, you list the solution to that risk. No, inflation might affect me negatively. Did I capture that correctly? Yes. Okay. Got that one. Anything else? Well, and then their spouse says, yeah, well, what if the market crashes? Wouldn't that throw us off? Okay. Concern that a major market decline or a market crash might negatively affect their plan. Okay. Don't say anything. Just say anything else. And then they say something else. And they say anything else, anything else, anything else, anything else. And then when they have literally exhausted, and you check it before you move on, you say, so let me get this straight. If we come up with strategies for this entire list, that these are all the obstacles that worry you. In other words, you would feel, well, how? And then you ask them, if we were to come up with strategies to alleviate or mitigate or eliminate all of these risks, how would you feel about your plan at that point? And let them respond. And so what you're looking for is solid, because if they're not solid, then you say, there must be something else that's worrying you. What is it? Anything else? Anything else? Anything else? And by the way, if you run out of room on this form, just flip it on the backside. It's blank. Just keep going on the back. If they keep coming up with risks and obstacles and roadblocks, things that might negatively occur that could affect them, a downside risk, all these things, just keep writing anything else, anything else, anything else. And then check it at the end. So what you're telling me is you can't think of another obstacle that is a significant enough risk to make you worry. And when they say, no, that's pretty much it. Like if we could find solutions to all this stuff, you know, we'd be good. Okay, great. Then, and only then, you stop, you go back through and you start creating strategies one by one against these obstacles. Now, I do recommend that you do a little bit of triage and you ask them to consult together and have them pick and say, you know, of all these risks, like which one do you think is the biggest risk that we should talk about first? And so let them agree on that. And then you start there, but then you can start putting in strategies. But also don't come in with this already pre-filled out. So it's very likely, see, what's preceded the comprehensive safety review is your team has completed a comprehensive written lifetime financial strategy, otherwise known as a financial plan, but more thorough. And so your team will have already identified risks. So some advisors get the bright idea, well, I'll come in with this pre-filled. No. The whole idea is to get them to share all their risks. It's not about you. It's about them getting them out of their system. Okay. But after you've gone through all their risks and solutions, then you can come in at the end and say, oh, by the way, I didn't mention it before, but our team has already gone through this. Like, it's not as though we haven't identified a bunch of risks on your behalf. We have. And so, so here they are. And I, after you've gone through risks, and by the way, when you talk about the strategies, before you weigh in with what your solutions and strategies would be to their risks, always ask them what they would do. So like and when the market crashed, so when you're working on that one, say the market crashes. So what would you do? Like if you had never come across me, what are your instincts telling you that you would do in a situation like that? And see what they say. See, now you're learning how level-headed they are. Most clients are reasonable. Most affluent clients are reasonable. I say most, not all. And, you know, they'll say things like, well, I guess if there was a correction, which means we have less balance right now, I guess we'd tighten our belt. You know, I guess, you know, if we haven't achieved some goals, we'd push some of the goal dates out a little bit further, let things get back to where they were. Okay, write their solutions and strategies to each of these risks before you weigh in on anything on your own. But then after you've gone through theirs, you can add the ones that your team has come up with. And then my parting shot on this whole exercise is you need to tell them, and this is write it in the parking lot for the next meeting. So if you get through this whole exercise, then you need to tell them, you need to say, well, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take this exercise and all the work, all the feedback that you've given me today, I'm going to hand it over to my team of 5 subject matter experts and let the professionals look at it. So next time when you come in for the meeting, I'll have this all typed up and it'll include the strategies that you've come up with for yourself, but I'm going to have my team add other strategies that our team is proposing as professionals. Like here's some strategies to address or eliminate some of these risks, mitigate some of these risks. And then the only other thing is, what if you don't finish the exercise? What if your little alarm goes off at 15 minutes and you're not nearly through? That's where I'm saying it's on you. It's your skill. You'll get better at this and it will be done in 15 minutes. All I'm saying is that, you just have to say, look, this is a conversation we need to continue. If you didn't get through the exercise, then you need to for sure put it in the parking lot and say, we need to continue this. We've got to move on right now to the next agenda item, but let them watch you write it in the parking lot, you know, complete the comprehensive safety review exercise. And then you do follow up in a phone call in the next week or so and, you know, schedule a phone appointment to complete this exercise with them. All right. So the highest priority conversation, this is short. The way I do that, it basically is every client has some issue that is the biggest deal in their finances at the moment. It could be a financial situation like a tax problem or an estate planning problem. It could be a problem they bring to you. Like, I'm thinking about selling my business. What do I do? You know, it could be an issue that they bring to the table. It could be something that you need to confront. Like maybe there are some things that only they can do, but they're dragging their feet. So you make a recommendation from your team that they need to do this, that, or the other, and they're not taking the advice. So now that becomes the highest priority conversation. We need to talk about how when our team makes a recommendation, what happens if you choose not to do it? Like we need to figure out a way where we can be authorized to get in there and do it for you or something. Like we can't just have recommendations sitting there like incomplete. So maybe that's the highest priority conversation. But the way I do it is I have my 5 subject matter experts come to the dry run prep meeting a week before the client meeting. And they propose to me, you know, Mark, here are the top 3 or 4 priority conversations. So therefore we've already met as an SME team, and we've decided this one is the highest priority conversation. And as long as you agree, then you're going to have a 15-minute conversation with the client, timed exercise, and you're going to confront it. And so you're going to set your timer for 13 minutes. When the timer goes off, you're going to wrap up in the next 3 minutes. If you've completed the conversation, you know, bully for you. Mission accomplished for that section of the agenda. And And so you're done for that moment, but, and then you move on to the next section of the agenda. But if you didn't finish, again, say we need to make a note to continue this conversation. You mark it over in the parking lot and you get that done. You get that meeting telephone appointment set up with them in the next. So you can see there's an incentive to get through this agenda in 60 minutes if you can, because you know who wants to have all these follow-up phone appointments of stuff you never got to. So you'll get better as you get into it. It might take you 6 months to master this, but you'll get this to the point where in a normal client meeting, you'll fly through this whole thing in 60 minutes or less. So the next thing is the greatest probability strategy. I was going to spend a couple of minutes talking about that, and then we're basically done. You'll see in the corrected client prep pack a sample of this document. Now, in data that I've got, so I've hired a research team, and I know with authority, I can tell you of the top five reports that clients love the most, this is number one. So this, it's called the greatest probability strategy, otherwise known as the GPS. But Mark, what is it? It's the report that is the list of action items and recommendations for this client. And it's set up in three sections. So the first section is, here are all the action items that are due before our next meeting date. So in the three meeting process, you meet every 4 months. So if you're meeting with the client right now in August, then September, October, November, December. So the next meeting with this client is in December. All right. So the second section of the report is action items that our team says are due after the next meeting date, but before the next calendar year. Well, right now in August, the next meeting date is the end of the calendar year. It's December. So, okay. So the second section in that, and when you get to the final months of the year and you're meeting with a client, that section two skips to the next calendar year. So in the next meeting, if the meeting were today, you'd have a section that says action items due before December 31st, 2022. And then the second section would be, here's the list of action items that are due before December 31st, 2023. In other words, the next calendar year. But earlier in the year, like if you're meeting with a client in February, well, you meet with them in February. The next meeting will be March, April, May, June. So the next meeting will be June. So the first section would say, you know, action items that are due before the next meeting, June 18th. Okay. And then the second section would be, and here are all the action items that are due by December 31st, 2022. In other words, the end of the next calendar year, which is this year. Okay. So if it's early in the year, section two is, you know, December 31st this year. If it's August, September, October, November, December, then you're going to put, you know, the second section of the GPS is action items due by the next calendar year, December 31st. And then the third section is every year for which there is an action item after this year. And you need to really press your team on this. You need to include every single action item that your team can think of for the rest of the client's life. So if forgive me if you're in Australia or Canada or the UK, because it's a little bit different for where you are, but for you that are in the States, US, we know that most clients will sign up for Medicare at age 65. We need to remember to get them to do that because that affects their financial affairs. Okay, so that's going to go on there. Whatever year that occurs in section three, you're going to put that year, and you know you're going to say you know 6 months before your birthday, you know at the meeting, at least 6 months before your birthday with us, we're going to fill out all the documents required. You know, we're going to get all the information gathered that's going to be required to get you hooked up with Medicare when the time comes. And then in our country, you have to begin taking distributions on qualified retirement accounts by age 70 and a half. So whenever in the plan, we the financial planner and the money manager can look at the projections and they can say, okay, the first time they'll have to dip into their retirement accounts is going to be this year. So in that year, you're going to you're going to mention that in the GPS, like an action item at the meeting closest to, you know, June 18th. At the June meeting that year, we need to talk to you about establishing distributions from your retirement account. If they haven't taken distributions and they're reaching age 70 and a half, the year that they turn 70 and a half, you need to put that future year out there. Just anything in the future that you now know that they will have to do, you know, we are selling this GPS as the way it's advertised is every action item that we are currently aware of for you for the rest of your life is listed on here. So you've got these three sections with every action item that's ever going to be required by this client, at least the way we see it right now. Obviously, good thing we're meeting with them every 4 months and updating their current, their entire financial plan annually, because these will change as years move on. So every meeting, you give them a new GPS, and now these are the action items that are required going forward. So they will change and evolve over time, but every time we meet, we're going to update all the action items and recommendations. Now, why do we do that? Why did the affluent people say they liked this format? Because all you cover in the meeting is section number one. In an earlier meeting, the implementation meeting, you can go through the three sections and just tell them, look, here's the actions due after the next meeting, but before the end of the calendar year. And then there's every other action item for the rest of your life in the next section. So that when we sit down and meet, we're just going to talk about the things that have to get done between now and the next meeting. So that's pretty much all I wanted to cover. You can read the script binder for the closing routine. It just is a callback to the beginning. So you remember at the beginning, I said the objective of the meeting is for you to walk out the door today with an overwhelming sense of confidence that you're making progress. So how'd we do? Do you think we're making progress? And let them talk, let them explain how they're feeling. And then say, you know, what did we accomplish here today? And let each of the two spouses, I want to get it documented in the interaction log, what they said that they felt like was accomplished, because I want to document all the things that they are impressed about for the team to understand, you know, here's, you know, we met for an hour and here's just a few things that seem to take away. This is what they mentioned when I asked them, what did we accomplish here today? So these are obviously the things that they're focused on. So it's a 3-minute closing routine. If you add up all these timed exercises, it's 60 minutes. And then the next step is transition to if you're working with Bill Bachrach, he calls this next thing, you just roll right into the referral conversation. If you're working with me on client acquisition, we don't do the referral conversation. We do something called the references project. But regardless, after the closing routine, you just roll into that next section of the meeting, you're done after that. So I hope this was helpful. I had, you know, the hope was that I could, and we've never done this before, do a super deep dive into this meeting. So now you've got my instructions on the meeting. You've got a script binder that lets you see how clients react in this environment and how that conversation goes. And then you can see the actual sample client documents. So you've got the corrected client prep packet. So you've got examples of client documents that you can use in your comprehensive safety review. So I hope all that was useful. And that's it for this month. Until next month, I wish you all the future success. And I'm Mark Little. If you need any help, give us a shout.